Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Nun Hei. We're beginning by the Mishnah, about a third of the way down. We're learning today Le'ila Nishmas Irving S. Harowitz, Yitzchak Shmuel, Rev Levi Halevi. All the Nishams we learn for Shevin Aliyah. Most of the day we have a nice thing to learn for. One of the regular listeners to my Daf Yomi, Stephen Slamnicki. So Baruch Hashem, he and Laura celebrated the engagement of their daughter Eliana yesterday to Mendy. Yes, Hashem, the Zegwa should be Olazan Yofa, and they should see the real Simcha, the Shoah Tova Umutzlachas. Okay, let us begin with the Mishnah. Again, Nun Hei Omer Aleph, about a third of the way down. The Mishnah begins, V'chacham Momrim. Now, this is really in response to the Mishnah that we had on Daf Nun. And here it tells us, the Chachamim say that B'Yehuda, the custom, the practice in Yehuda, specifically, Hayu Osu Melocha Be'Avri Psochem Ad Chatzos, that they would do, in fact, Melocha up until Chatzos. They were a Mokum Shinagu, they did, in fact, Melocha until Chatzos. U'B'Galil, however, in the Galil, the northern part of the country, Lo Yosu Kolikor, they didn't do any work at all, not even in the morning. Now, Halayla, at nighttime, however, there you have Beis Shammai Osrim or Beis Hillel Matirim. Beis Shammai, their opinion was that you couldn't even work at the night of your Dalet. For those in the Galil, they didn't work on the day of your Dalet, but Beis Shammai says they didn't even work on the night, early Abasa, the night that you do Bedikas Chametz. They didn't even do any Melacha then. Actually, the Halacha is that nobody should do any Melacha before you do the Bedikas Chametz. Once one has a mitzvah in front of them, one shouldn't do any malacha because it could delay them or you could get so involved, you may not do the mitzvah. So we're not talking about before the B'dikas Chametz. We're talking about after the B'dikas Chametz, Beis Shammai still said, Osrim, you don't do malacha. And Beis Hillel says, no, it's perfectly permissible for a person to do malacha once they've done the B'dikas Chametz the rest of the night, and one can do this until Honetz Achamo. Honetz is the verb itself, comes from Heinitzu, and some people in the vernacular call it Neitzachama, but it's really Hon Neitzachama, as the Mishnah tells us. So even in those places that had the minhag not to do work on the morning of Yedalit, it only started from sunrise, it didn't start from Olos HaShachar. Now, the Gemara points out that it's interesting that we use the term over here, Beis Shammai Osrin or Beis Hillel Matirin. That seems to imply that there's an Isser, a Heter situation over here. And the Gemara says in the Yikara, Tana Minhaga, when we started off this whole discussion, we were talking about Malkum Shinagu. The place where the minhag was to do malacha, you did malacha. The place where the minhag was not to do malacha, the minhag was not to do malacha. Not that it's also to do malacha. And now here we're using the terminology of Basov, Tana Yisura. So what's going on? Some Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, look, Kasha, no, there's no real steer between the earlier Mishnah and our Mishnah over here. He says there are two different Tanoic opinions. Har Rabbi Meir, Har Rabbi Yehuda. What does that mean? We'll see. The Gemara says, the Tanya, we lived in a Braisa, that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda. And we'll see that their opinions are associated with whether this is a minhag or whether it's osur. The Braisa says as follows, the Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda tells us, in B'Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, in the section of Eretz Yisrael known as Yehuda, the middle region of the country, there, they were no hay to allow them to do malacha up until Chatzos. That was their minhag. U'b'Galil, as we said in our Mishnah, here now, U'b'Galil einos in Kalika, their minhag was not to do malacha even in the morning, never mind in the afternoon. Amalu Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says to him, Moraya Yehuda v'Galil l'kan. Rabbi Meir says, what difference does it make what Yehuda does? What difference does it make what Galu does? The rule is, you follow the minhag of the place. Ela makom shenagu lasos malacha, osin. Makom shenagu shlo lasos, ain osin. He says it all depends on the minhag. It's almost irrelevant what the minhag is in Yehuda, what the minhag is in Galu, except for them. So in Yehuda, they did this minhag. In Galu, they did this minhag, but it has no reflection on what any other place in the country does. Each place follows its own minhag. So what do we see? The Gemara says, Midikama Rabbi Meir Minhaga. Since it's clear from this Brisa, the Rav Meir says, we stress over here, it's all totally on the Minhag, that implies from the fact that Rav Yehuda said in the Brisa, Behuda, Hayu Osu Malacha, and Agol Enos in Kol Ikar, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Mikad Rabbi Yehuda Isura Kama. He holds that it actually was codified, and it became Isra Heter to do Malacha or not. And therefore, the Tana on the Mishnah, on Daf Nun, where we said that you can have a minhag to do it, you can have a minhag not to do it, that's Rabbi Meir. And our Mishnah here, which uses the Lashon of Asurin, so therefore that's already the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's the suggestion the Gemara wants to make. Gemara says, really? V'sava Rabbi Yehuda, arbosva mutu basiyas malacha? So that implies that in Yehuda, in the section of the country called Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says that they had a halacha, that it was permissible to do malacha up until Chatzos. But that's not what Rabbi Yehuda says elsewhere. Well, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, HaMenachesh Bishlosh Asor. If a person does Nichush, Nichush is weeding. If a person goes and has a grain field, Rashi points out over here, he's weeding Mibein Tuas Dogon. That's the gears that we have on the side. It says he's Menachesh Dover She'eno Dogon. He uproots the things that aren't the Dogon from this wheat field. So in his attempt to weed the field, he's menachesh this on the 13th day of Nisan. There's certainly no problem doing melacha then. And by accident, the nekra biyado, he pulls up a grain of wheat. Now, this grain of wheat, if it stayed in the ground, it would be meshurash in the ground. So then it would become matured by the bringing of the Korban Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and it would no longer be called chodosh. If now you uprooted this wheat, it would be called yashan, and you'd be allowed to eat it. But if it's uprooted before Pesach, so then it wasn't mishurash, it wasn't in the ground, it wasn't rooted in the ground at the time of the Korban Omer, and therefore it wouldn't be matured by the bringing of the Korban Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. And it's too immature at this point in time for it to be eaten. Obviously, if you, with the harvested beforehand, so if it was ready, you can't eat it before then. That will actually be tomorrow's Mishnah. We'll talk about that. In Yericho, they did certain things that were connected with what the Chacham said regarding the piling up of the grain before the actual bringing of the Korban Omer. There was a concern that you may come to eat it, so we'll discuss that in tomorrow's share. But here, it wasn't ready to be eaten now, and it has to be replanted. So, Shoslaw, they would replant it. But where were they replanted? They would replant it b'mokum atit. They would replant it in a place where it was muddy, because it would be able to take root within the 3-day period of time that would be necessary, that it's considered rooted before the bringing of the Korban Omer. And as opposed to, v'ein sholslo b'mokum hagorid, but they didn't plant it in a place that Rashi says is yovesh, she'enu mamaya liklod, it won't take root so fast there, and then it won't have rooted for 3 days, it won't be considered matir by the bringing of the Korban Omer. So this is the basic din. If something is rooted in the ground at the time that the Korban Omer is brought, so then when you harvest it, it'll be matir as yashan, as old wheat. But if it wasn't rooted at the time that the Korban Omer was brought, so then you'll have to wait till next year the Korban Omer is brought, the following first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, the following year. And until then, if you were to harvest it, it would become what we would call chadash, and you wouldn't be allowed to go and eat it yet. Fine. So Rabbi Yehuda says that they would go, and bedafka, if they uprooted something too early, they would replant it on the 13th, in order that it would have 3 days to take root. It takes 3 days for something to take root, and this way it would be fully taken root by the time that the Korban Omer was brought, and there'd be no problem, it would be yashan. Now here's the question. Rabbi Yehuda says they had to do this on the 13th, so bishlosh asar in. If they did this on the 13th day of Nisan, fine, it will have the 13th day that it can take root, the 14th day that it can root, and the 15th day that it can take root, and therefore on the 16th, when they bring the Korban Omer, there's no problem, it's already rooted for 3 days. Implication being, Arba Asar lo, but they wouldn't be able to do this on Arba Asar, because it wouldn't have 3 days of taking root before the Korban Omer is brought. But the Gemara says, why not? Michte, let's look at the calculations. If you, in fact, did it on the 14th, that would be day one. If you did it on the 15th, that would be day two. And the beginning of the 16th should be day three. We apply the rule of Mixas Hayom Kikulo. And therefore, it would have taken root for 3 days prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer. So why couldn't they plant it or replant it, Shoslaw, on the 14th day? Now, you might ask, well, if it requires 3 days to root, so then how do you apply the principle of Mixas Hayom Kikulo? And the answer is, it doesn't require 3 days. It requires 2 full days and part of the 3rd day. And therefore, this is part of the 3rd day. And therefore, it would have satisfied our requirement physically that it would take root within that period of time. So if Rabbi Yehuda says that it's permissible in Yehuda to go and do malacha in the morning of the 14th, so why did he insist that it had to be replanted on the 13th day of Nisan? You would have had time to replant it on the 14th day of Nisan. Therefore, Mechdei Shamin Leil Rav Yehuda, the Amar Kol Harkovo Sheino Koletis L'Shlosh Yomim Shuveino Koletis. As I've already said, that if it doesn't take root, if it doesn't get replanted within 3 days before, it's never going to be successful in taking root over here at that period of time. And if, as we said, the Yehuda holds it's absolutely permissible, it's mutter to do malacha on the 14th day of Nisan, at least before Chatzos, so then why did he insist in this Raisa that you have to go? Why did he insist on doing it on the 13th day of Nisan? there would have been time to do it on the 14th day in the morning. For Ikar Abeser in the morning you do it, so that's the whole 14th day. The Chameser, the whole 15th day. Umitzah Shissa, and part of the 16th day, they didn't bring the Korban Omer in the first thing in the morning. They had to bring the Korban Tumid first. They did some other activities possibly first, so it would be brought 9 o'clock in the morning, whenever they brought the Korban Omer. There's reason they would bring it early, but they didn't necessarily bring it the first thing in the morning. So it would have time to have taken root somewhat, mitzvah shissa, and therefore that would be the 3 days. So from the fact that you see he insisted on doing it on the 13th, he must have held that in Yehuda, you're not allowed to do malacha on the 14th. So Kashan Revuda, how can you tell me that he holds that it's mutter to do malacha in Yehuda on the 14th? So the Gemara gives several tirutz. First one's an obvious one. Amar Rava, the Galil Shanu. He's talking about the Galil. He wasn't talking about Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said in the Galil, the din was that you can't do Malacha on the 14th from Netzach Hamas. So therefore, it won't have the 3 days because you can't have it on the 14th in the Galil. You're right. In Yehuda, you could have planted it on the 14th. And he was saying in this Raisa, and you had to do it Bishlosha Sar in Be'abar Solo because he was talking about the Galil. So that's a very simple, straightforward Teretz. Mara says, well, wait, where do we get this idea that you have to plant it during the daytime? We said that Beis Hillel allows you to do malacha at night. So why didn't they allow in this price? Why didn't you say that you go plant it the early arbosa on the night of the 14th? And that should have been fine. So Rav Sheshet is also a simple teretz. This was the opinion of Beis Shammai. He was saying that according to Beis Shammai, you must do it on the 13th because they don't allow you to do it on early arbosa. They don't allow you to do it on the night of the 14th. So that's simple teretz that we're talking here about Galil, and we're talking even about the nighttime. Fine. Mor gives another teretz. Mor says, Rav Ashi says, no, we don't want to make him forced to say like Beis Shammai. That's not the way we pask him. So we want it to be like Beis Hillel. So Rav Ashi says, Le'olam k'Beis Hillel. We are talking about Beis Hillel. And therefore, you theoretically could have done it at night. However, Lefish ain't darker, Shemei Yodim, L'nachish B'layla. Who's weeding out at night that they should uproot it and have to replant it at night? People, they didn't have lamps in their fields. They didn't have a lot of ability to go and work at night in the dark. So therefore, it's just a practical statement. If you didn't replant it on the 13th, it's too late because they didn't have the ability to go and replant it on the night of the 14th. That's a simple Balabatish Teretz as well, that just the facts don't agree with being able to plant it at night on the 14th. And he's talking about the Galil, where they couldn't plant it during the daytime. Very simple. Final Teretz, Ravin Omar, he says, L'olam Yehuda. We are talking about Yehuda, not the Galil. And he says, U'bahash Rasha, when you're dealing over here with taking root, Chad Mikzasayom Kekulu Amrinan. Trey mixes a yom kikulu lo amrinan. What are we talking about over here? This isn't a halachic concept that if a person, Rechmon al-Islam, loses somebody and the avelis begins 1 minute before the shkia. So fine, so he sat a minute before the shkia, that's day one. And then the last day of the shiva, so he gets up after shachris in the morning. Mixes a yom kikulu, we say at the beginning, and we say mixes a yom kikulu at the end. Because it's not a physical construct, it's a halachic construct. You need it to have the 7 days of shiva, and we allow a mixes a yom at the beginning and a mixes a yom at the end. We don't say you need 7 days, mi ace la ace. But here we're talking about a physical taking root. So if you were to plant this on the 14th, that's not a full day. That's a part of a day. Okay, that's fine. As long as you had 2 full days afterwards, it wouldn't be a problem. But here, you only have 1 full day afterwards, the 15th. And now you're saying on the part of the 16th, it makes it say Yom Kikula again. So you have a little bit of the 14th and a little bit of the 16th and 1 full day of the 15th. That's not 2 full days. We said before, you need at least 2 full days and something to physically go take root. So that's why, even if you're talking about Yehuda and you were weeding the field, you should be only doing this on the 13th, if something gets uprooted, to replant it, because it won't have enough time. Because when you replant it on the 14th, even though in Yehuda you're allowed to weed it and plant it, that's not the problem. It will only have a half a day on the 14th. You did it at 10 o'clock in the morning. So at 6 o'clock at night, it's a total of 8 hours. And then you're going to have the full day of the 15th. And then you'll have a few hours on the 16th because you're going to bring the Korban Omer in the morning. So it's not going to have 2 full days in something. You'll have a mixes a yom at the beginning, mixes a yom at the end. That's not good enough from the physical replanting that needs to occur, that it takes root before the bringing of the Korban Omer. So that's the third teretz over here, how we could reconcile. Rav Yehuda was saying that he says it's a din, and why did he say elsewhere that you're not allowed to go and do this hashsala, this replanting on our basar? Next Mishnah. Rameh tells us, Kom locha shehiskel bo kodem li'arbosar, if you began doing work before the 14th day of Nisan, so are you allowed to finish it on the morning of the 14th day of Nisan, even in a place where the minhag is not to do work. So the Mishnah tells us, yes, gomro b'arbaso, you're allowed to go and finish it on the morning of the 14th. The Gemara will explain under what circumstances we're talking about, and ultimately we'll say that this is something that was needed l'tzorich yontif, it's needed for Pesach, and you began doing it before the 14th, and you're going to finish it on the morning of the 14th. So even in a place where the minhag is not to do work on the morning of the 14th, you're allowed to finish this because of l'tzorich hamoed. That's what we'll ultimately say. But right now, we don't know that. Fine. But Rav Meir does continue in the Mishnah, but you shouldn't begin something on the 14th day of Nisan, even though you're able to go and finish it on the morning of the 14th. Again, the Gemara will explain exactly what we're talking about, what opinion Rav Meir is going to. The Chum disagree. The Chum Omrim, the Mishnah continues, Shalosh Umnios, there are three types of professions that you're allowed to do, Osim Melocha, Be'avi B'Sochem HaChatzos, that you're allowed to go and do these professions up until Chatzos. The Eluhain, what professions are these? These are Hachayotim, these are tailors, people sewing things up. Vasaparim, these are people giving haircuts. Vakovsin, and people doing the laundry. So we'll see why in the Gemara, since all of these things are able to be done in some sort of a fashion on Cholamayit, so Cholamayit is stricter than Erev Pesach, and therefore things that are able to be done on Chol HaMoed, we give a full heter to do them on Erev Pesach. And again, we'll see what the Chachamim are talking about when they say that you can do these things up until Chatzos. In what area are they talking about? Under what circumstances are they talking about? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda adds a fourth thing. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, Af Ratzonim. Ratzonim are people that work with leather. They're shoemakers, Ashkofim. And therefore, they're allowed to also go and make shoes on Erev Pesach. We'll see why when we get to the Gemara. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, they asked in regards to Rav Meir Shita, who said that when you begin something before Erev Pesach, under certain circumstances, you can finish it on the morning of Erev Pesach. They asked what exactly was the scenario that he was talking about. There are three possibilities. Was he talking about Litzorach HaMoetznan? He's talking about work that was needed for Yontif. And therefore, that's why if you began doing it before your Dalit, you're allowed to finish it on the morning of your Dalit because it's Litzorach HaMoet. However, avo shelo litzorach hamoed, but that implies that if it wasn't something that is needed, a type of work that is needed for Pesach, afilu migmar namilo, even though you started before yudalit in the morning, you still wouldn't be allowed to finish it on yudalit in the morning. Or, odilmo, shelo litzorach hamoed nan. He's talking about even if it's not litzorach hamoed, as long as you started it before the 14th, you're allowed to finish it on the morning of the 14th. Dilmo shelo litzorach hamoed nan. However, avo litzorach, if it was for the tzorich of the moed, not only can you finish it on the 14th in the morning, but eschule meschalinon. You can even start something on the morning of the 14th and finish it on the morning of the 14th. So that's the most makel opinion. The first one was the most machmir opinion. And then the middle opinion, Odilma, it doesn't make any difference. He doesn't discuss whether it's a tzorich moed or not. Odilma, ben tzorich moed, ben shlol tzorich moed, he doesn't discuss. Migmar in eschule lo. You're always allowed to finish something on the morning of the 14th, but you're not allowed to start something on the morning of the 14th. So these are the three possibilities for Rav Meir's Shita. So we're going to try to prove it. Toshma, which one is correct? From the following brisa. Avolo yaskil batchila b'arbasar. This brisa says, you're not allowed to begin something on the morning of the 14th. And that includes afilu tzulzul katan, even a little belt, which can easily be completed almost instantly when you make it, and afilu sevachi katana, a little hairnet, which also is completed almost immediately when you start it. They take a very little time to make them. So it's pretty much a guarantee that if you start it on the morning of the 14th, you'll be able to finish it, and nevertheless, this brisa says you're not allowed to start it. Now, what's the raya? To which shita of the three possibilities is this a raya to for Rav Meir? When it says over here in this brisa, afilu tzulzul katan, afilu sevachi katana, what does that mean? Mayafilu. When it says in the brisa, even those types of small little items you're not allowed to do on the 14th. Why does it say afilu? Doesn't it mean lav afilu hani dilatzorach hamoed migbarin askulilo? Even though they're necessary, you need this little belt, you need this little hairnet for yontif. So therefore, even in that situation, only in the situation that you're completing it on the 14th, but not starting it on the 14th, is allowed to be done, implying miklal dishelo litzorach. That if it's not something for Tzorach HaMoed, even to finish it on the 14th, Migmar Nami Lo Gamrinin, you're not allowed to go and finish it on the morning of the 14th. So, therefore, let us say that Rav Meir is talking about only the Tzorach HaMoed. So, one says, Lo, that's you can't bring me a ride from this Brisa. Maybe not. Because Leolam, maybe the Brisa is talking about Shalom Tzorach even if it's not talking about the tzorach of the moed, nevertheless, migmar na migamrinon. You don't necessarily need it for the moed, but nevertheless, you are allowed to go and complete it. And when it says afilu tzilzul katan, afilu svachik tana, what does that mean? I mean, my afilu. It means afilu hane, even these things. Nami dezutrininu, even though they're very, very small, and they're so easily done, one might have said, the sokadai dechaminoch, you might have said, haskalosan zuigmar malachton. It's like starting it, it's almost finishing it. It's a couple of stitches or a couple of actions, and it's all done. So you might have said, let us also begin it. Nasklebu nami lechatchila. That even if it's not letzorach hamoed, you'd be allowed to do it. No, kamash v'lam, that it's only letzorach hamoed, but not implying that if it's not letzorach hamoed, you're not allowed to go and do it then. So you can't bring me a right here that migbar lo gamrinan. Maybe it's only for this tziltul katan or the svach ketana. But in fact, if you started something beforehand, even if it's not letzorach hamoed, you'll have to finish it on the 14th. So you can't bring me a right. Try again. More says Toshma, Rav Meir Omer. We have the following rights where Rav Meir says, kol mlocha shi letzorach hamoed. If you're doing a mlocha that is necessary for the moed, return to Nunhei Amud Beis, gomra b'arbaasar. You are allowed to go and finish it on the morning of the 14th of Yudal Nisan. So Gemara says, when? A Masai. So if it's Bisman, Shehischu Bo Kodem Arbot, so if you began the day beforehand, then you're allowed to go and finish it on the morning of the 14th. But the Brisa seems to be saying, the name of Rebbe Meir, Avalo Hischu Bo Kodem Arbot, so, but if you didn't begin before the 14th, the implication is, Lo Yaschu Bo Bi Arbot, so, even if it's Afilu Tzulzul Kotun, Afilu Svachu Kitana. Now, this is Rameya talking, so let us bring a raya, letzorech hamoed in, shelo letzorech hamoed lo. So he seems to be saying, only when you're doing it letzorech hamoed are you allowed to do this, but if it's not letzorech hamoed, you can't even finish it at that time. So Gemara says, no, also not a good raya from this brisa. Hu adin, aloch is dafilu shelo letzorech nami gamrinan. No, one could argue that even if it's not letzorech hamoed, as long as you started before your dalet, you'd be allowed to go and finish it on the morning of your dalet. Aye, this brisa seems to say otherwise. No, and this brisa says that Rav Meir holds dafilu letzorech hamoed migmar in ischulilo. It's only telling me that you're allowed to complete it, but you're not allowed to start it. So again, you can't bring me a raya that you're not allowed to complete something that's not letzorech hamoed as long as it was started beforehand. But here we have the final proof that that is in fact halacha, according to Rav Meir. Toshma, Rav Meir Omer. Here again, we have Rav Meir's opinion clearly stated in the brisa. Kol mlocha shi letzorech hamoed. He says, if you're doing a mlocha litzorech hamoed for yontif, then gomra b'arbaasar. You're allowed to go and complete it on the morning of the 14th. However, v'shein litzorech hamoed, if it's not needed for the moed, aser. You're not allowed to go and even complete it on the 14th. So here's our raya. Furthermore, and only in the places where the minhag was to do malach until chatzos, the minhag is you're allowed to go and do so. Now, here it says beferish, makum shenagu in, lo nagu lo. It says beferish over here, only in the places where the minhag was to do the malacha, you're allowed to do this. If the minhag is not to do malacha, you can't do any malacha at all. And it says beferish, that only if it was a tzorech moed, and if only if you started before you dalit. So therefore, shmami no, we have a raya, that this whole din of Rav Meir in our Mishnah is a very restrictive din. It requires you to do the melacha before your dalet to start it. You can't start it on your dalet, and only if it's letzorach hamoed are you allowed to finish it on the morning of your dalet in a place where the minhag was that they did work on the morning of your dalet. Shma mino letzorach hamoed in, shelo letzorach hamoed lo, shma mino. This is in fact a good raya, and the most restrictive opinion of Rav Meir, that you require, number one, has to be letzorach hamoed, and number two, you're not allowed to do it on your dalet, even if you can finish it on your dalet. Afilu svacha, afilu tzulzul katan, you're not allowed to do it. It has to have been started beforehand. You have to start it before your dalet, and it has to be finished on the morning of your dalet in a place where they do the work, and it must be letzorech hamoed. That was Rav Meir's shita in the Mishnah. Now we understand it. Now, the Chacham Omrim, Shalosh Umnios, the Chacham said, there are three exceptions to the rule. We said it was the tailors, it was the barbers, and the launderers. Now, why? So the Brisa tells us, Tono, we learn in the following Brisa, Hachayotim, the people that are tailors, they're allowed to do work on the morning of Yadalid. Why? Because Shekain Hedjo Tofer Kidarko B'chol HaShemoyd. We're going to see throughout this little piece of Gemara here that things that were fitted on Chol HaMoyd, so Chol HaMoyd is stricter than Erev Pesach, so if we were allowed to do something in some way on Chol HaMoyd, there was some normal way to do it on Chol HaMoyd, so then the Heter is totally available on Erev Pesach in the morning. So since tailoring is allowed to be done tofer kidarko b'chol hamoed by a hedjot, a regular person has no restrictions on sewing on chol hamoed because he's not a professional. So therefore, once we have this heter of sowing on Chol HaMoed, so we're more lenient on Erev Pesach, and we allow the tailors to even do it in the regular way. So since a hedgerow can do it on Chol HaMoed, so even the professional, the chayot, can do it on Erev Pesach. Similarly, Hasapar Vakosin, the barbers and the launderers, there are situations where a hedgerow can do haircutting or a laundry on Chol HaMoed. What are those situations? For example, Shekena Bob Midin Siam, somebody who had traveled from overseas and wasn't able to take a haircut or do his laundry before Pesach, and he comes in right an hour or two before the Shkia on Erev Pesach, and he didn't have a chance to go and take care of these needs. Or somebody, Rachman al-Sana Yosef Yisrael, so he was in captivity, and Baruch Hashem, he now gets out on Chol HaMoed, so he couldn't take a haircut, he couldn't do his laundry while he was in jail. So therefore, we allow them, under these unique circumstances, Mesapim u'mechapsim b'chol HaShemoed, they're given permission to take a haircut and to go and do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, we don't let people do this because we don't want them coming into Yontif like a Menuvel. I don't have time before Yontif to take the haircut. I'll take the haircut on Chol HaMoed. We don't want that. I don't have time to do the laundry Chol HaMoed before Pesach. I'll do the laundry on Chol HaMoed. I'll spend all my Chol HaMoed doing laundry. We don't want you to do that. We want you to spend Chol HaMoed doing learning, doing the Divrei Kedusha, doing things that are appropriate to do on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, the rabbis restricted you from taking haircuts or doing the laundry normally on Chol HaMoed with these exceptions. But since there are exceptions, so too. On Erev Pesach, we make exceptions to allow the barbers and the launderers to do their work. Those were the three that the Chacham said. And then Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, he added the fourth one, Omer, Afer Ratzon. He said, even the shoemakers are allowed to go make shoes on Erev Pesach. Why? Because the people that were Ole Regel, Shekain Ole Regalim, all the Klai Yisrael that went up to the Regel, they didn't have cars, they didn't have trains, the fancy transportation, they walked. So the Ole Regel, they needed to fix their shoes. They just walked from Haifa to Yerushalayim. And therefore, Shekain Ole Regalim, Misakdim Minaleim, Bechol Shemait. Their shoes were torn and ripped, so they were allowed to fix them on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, since we have this idea that shoemakers can go and fix shoes on Chol HaMoed, so then, Lechatchila, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that the shoemakers can make shoes on Erev Pesach, because you can do fixing on Chol HaMoed, so you can make shoes on Erev Pesach. So Gemara says, no, so how come the Chacham didn't mention this? This sounds like it's exactly the same thing as the Chayotim and the Sapin and the Chabsin. Why would they disagree with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and not mention the Ratzonim as well? But Michael Miflagi. So Gemara says, no. The opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is that since Mar Sovar Lemeidim Tchilas Melocha Misof Melocha, he says that since you're allowed to go and fix the shoes on Chol HaMoed, so he goes a step further. He doesn't say everybody can go fix the shoes on Erev Pesach. He says you can even make shoes on Erev Pesach. Whereas the Chacham say no. The fact that you can fix shoes on Chol HaMoed, so all that would tell us is that you can lechatchila fix shoes on Erev Pesach, but you can't make shoes on Erev Pesach, and that's why they disagree with Rosh Yehuda when he says afu ratzonim. They don't disagree that you can fix shoes on Erev Pesach, but they disagree with Rosh Yehuda who says you can make shoes on Erev Pesach. That's the point of contention. Can you be made in tchilas melacha misof melacha? So Rosh Yehuda says yes, and the Chacham say no. Now go to the next Mishnah. Moshivin shovachim letarnegolim b'arbasar. Now, that's the girsa that we have. Rashi brings out another girsa that it says, Moshivin Shovachin U Letarnagolim, which means basically he likes to keep the term Shovachin for dovecotes as opposed to Tarnagolim, which is usually not inside dovecotes, they're in chicken coops. But in any event, you can learn it just the simple way. Rashi also says that you're talking about here that a hen needs to sit on the eggs in order to incubate the eggs, in order to heat up the eggs so that the eggs will hatch and bring forth live chicks. So this is normally a certain amount of work, and we don't do work on our basar. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that this is even in a place where the Mokum was not to do work, Moshivin Shovachim Latarnagolim Yabasar. You're allowed to go put the eggs underneath the chickens, or put the chickens on top of the eggs on our basar. It's not a problem. This is Machlokas Shulchan Aruch. Does this include even after Chatzos Hayom? But certainly in the morning, everybody agrees you're allowed to do this, even in a place where the minhag was not to do this work. This isn't considered significant work. However, v'tarnegola shabarcha, if the chicken doesn't want to go and sit on the eggs, so then, machzirin osolim koma, you are allowed to go and bring it back and sit it on the eggs, even though it's morodes, and it's a little bit more difficult to do this, even though it's a little bit more work, you're allowed to do this. More or less, if you can do it l'chatchila, that certainly is harder than returning it. So why do you have to tell me this? And the Gemara will explain why. And likewise, v'meisa, if the little mother chicken over here died, so then you can put moshivin acheres tachtel. You can put another chicken to sit on those eggs, or another dove in the dove coat to sit on those eggs. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Gemara will explain in more detail. Next part of the Mishnah deals with something else. Garfin, you're allowed to clean up, you're allowed to sweep away mitachas ragle behema, the waste, b'arba asar. You can go and sweep up the waste from underneath the animals in their barn on arba asar. And you can then take the waste that you get, this garfin, you gather it together, and you can put it in the garbage dump. You can take it away. So that's a decent amount of work, but you're allowed to do this. Ubimoet and Cholamoet, you also have to get rid of the waste over here. You sweep it away, but you're not allowed to take it away to the garbage dump, unless it becomes excessive, as we'll see. And you're allowed to go and just push it to the side. So there's a difference between Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed again. That's the second part of the Mishnah. Finally, the third part of the Mishnah is Molichin Kelin Umevin Mibeis Uman. You're allowed to bring utensils to be repaired to the artisan, to the professional that's going to repair them, or bring them back from the artisan who has already repaired them, even though afa pi shenel and sorach moed, even though they're not needed for the moed. So you can do this on your dalet. The Gemara will explain exactly what this third part of the Mishnah is talking about. So we have three parts of the Mishnah. Let's start off discussing the first part. First part tells us hashta osuve mosvinan. The first part of the Mishnah says lechatchila you can go put the chicken on the eggs or put the eggs underneath the chicken. So then that's harder. So certainly if you can do that, ahudure mibaya. Would you need to tell me that if the chicken got up that you'd have to go put the chicken back? That should be obvious. Why do you have to tell me both of them? Samor says, no, you're right. Omar bai. The second part that Mosvinon Seifa is talking about a different scenario. What's that scenario? That's talking about even on Chol HaMoed, a son of Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaMoed, you can't lechatchila go put him there because you'll just have unhatched eggs, so you'll have raw eggs. But it's telling us on Chol HaMoed, you can return the chicken to sit on the egg. That you're allowed to do only that on Chol HaMoed, but you can't lechatchila put the chickens there. So the Reisha of the Reisha is talking about on your Dalet, you can lechatchila put the eggs underneath the chicken, and on Chol HaMoed you can only do it if it was already sitting beforehand. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says further, Lo Shanu, when we said you can do this on Chol HaMoed, Lo Shanu Ela Tok Shlosh Lemirda. That's only if it had still had sat on the eggs within the last 3 days, because the eggs in that situation are still hatchable, so to say. Dakate Lo Parach Tzimra Mina. It's still hot. Tzimra, it means like a heat or a temperature. A person has a temperature, it's called simra. So therefore, the eggs are still hatchable, and therefore it is reasonable to put the chicken back on the eggs, and therefore they'll still hatch. Likewise, it has to be v'achar shloshal yishivasa. Only allow you to do this if it's already been sitting on them for at least 3 days. Because if it hadn't been sitting on it for 3 days, so then the eggs will not hatch, and even though they may have some growth inside of them, it's still edible. May not be as edible as if it's not at all fertilized inside, but it still would be eaten. So therefore, it's only a slight financial loss, and we wouldn't allow you to go put the egg back underneath the chicken, because that's a lot of extra work on Chol HaMoed. So as long as you meet both of these criteria, you can do it. It has to have not left it for more than 3 days, and it had to have at least sat on it for 3 days in order for us to allow you to return the egg underneath the chicken on Chol HaMoed. However, if it's more than 3 days, so then it's going to be really, really difficult for that egg to hatch. So therefore, don't waste your time doing such extra work on Chol HaMoed. The parach lot simra mina, because the heat is, so to say, gone, and it's not really going to hatch. Much less likely that it's going to be of any benefit. Or, likewise, if it's within the first 3 days of its sitting and it left, so then it's still going to be edible as an unhatched egg, even though it'd be a little bit crunchy inside, there'll be a little bit of formation inside, but they would eat that. It's only a slight financial loss. And therefore it's not considered totally lost. So therefore, Lo Madrina, Rav Huna says that the Mishnah is only talking about circumstances when it's going to be a significant financial loss, and here would only be a slight financial loss, and therefore you can't do this because it's too much work to do this on Chol HaMoed. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Ami disagrees. Rav Ami Amar, no. Afilu to shlosh l'shivasa madrina. Even if it's only within the first 3 days, it would be a slight financial loss. He says you can return it. So what are they arguing about? I've already said, b'maika mifligi, Rav Huna and Rav Ami. So Rav Huna holds there's a significant financial loss. We allow you to do this extra work, but not for a slight financial loss. And Rav Ami says, no, even for a slight financial loss. Ma'a savar lehefzid merubo choshishu. Rav Huna only allows you to do this if it's going to be a significant financial loss. However, lehefzid mor lo choshishu. So instead of the egg being worth, a dollar for 12 eggs, it would be 50 cents for 12 eggs. He says, okay, for that, we're not going to let you do this excessive work on Chol HaMoed. As opposed to, Rav Ami says, no, that's 50 cents. Omar Sabal Lehef said, what? Nami Chosh, the rabbi said, even for a small financial loss, we'll let you go and do work on Chol HaMoed. Then the middle part of the Mishnah said, Gorfim mitachas. We said, you're allowed to go on Erev Pesach, on your Dalet, go and sweep away the dung, the waste from underneath the animals, and even carry it out to the Ashba. As opposed to a Cholamai, you can only sweep it to the side, but you can't carry it out to the Ashba. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, it says, Hazevo, the manure, the dung, Shevechotzer, that's in a courtyard, that if the animals are making a mess in the courtyard, then you're allowed to push it to the side. However, in the barn, however, or in the chotzer, and that seems to be redundant. You just told me what the chotzer din was, and now you're telling me the chotzer din is different. From the barn, or from the chotzer, you can bring it out to the ashba. So it's obviously, it's an internal contradiction over here. In the ratio of this braisa, you say, in the chotzer, you can only push it to the side, you can't take it to the ashba. And the same, you say, even in the chotzer, you're allowed to bring it to the ashba. So what's going on over here? Hagufa kasha. It's internally contradictory. First, you say, Amriz, Zevo Sheba Chotzer, Mesakos Olut Stadin. And then you say, Father Tani, Sheba Refes, Vesheba Chotzer, Motzino Soli Ashba. So which one is it? You tell me two different dinim for the chotzer. First, you say only to the side, and you say no, even to the garbage dump. So Amar Abaye says, not a problem, no kasha. You know why it's not a kasha? It's talking about two different times. When you're allowed to be more meiko and even go and bring it from the chotzer to the garbage dump, that's talking about on Erev Pesach, on our basar, when we're not as concerned with excessive work. But on Chol HaMoed, we're concerned with excessive work, so we'll just allow you to push it to the side. But you can't go bring it out to the garbage dump. That's teretz number one from Abaye. Teretz number two, Rav Amar. No, they're both talking about Chol HaMoed. The Reish is talking about Chol HaMoed, and the Sefer is talking about Chol HaMoed. So how come they seem to contradict each other? The Reish says you can only put it to the side, and the Sefer says you can bring it to the garbage dump. So he qualifies. He says, this is what it's talking about. Im nase chotzer kerefes. If the chotzer gets so filled up, like it's the barn always gets filled up, and therefore you can dump it out of the barn, otherwise it's going to stink to the high heavens in the barns. So therefore, in the barn, you're always allowed to, when it fills up, bring it out to the garbage dump. So if the chotzer begins to look like a barn, if there's so much zevel, there's so much dung, manure in the courtyard, that it's looking like a barn, if not a chotzer karefis, in that situation, now, motzin osoli ashba, we do allow you to take it out to the garbage dump. So the Reisha is talking about when there's not so much dung, there's not so much zevel, so then just push it to the side. And the Sefer, when it says, if the chotzer is like a refes, there's so much over there, then motzin osoli ashba. Now we go to the third section of the Mishnah, molichin kelim umevi'in mibesa uman. We said that a person on Yudalit is allowed to go bring to the uman, or take back from the uman, the kelim to or from the uman. So Gemara says, Amar Papa, Bodiklon Rava, when Papa says, when we were in Rava's shir, so Rava tested us, and he said, Tanan, our Mishnah says, Molich Mevin Kalim Ibesu Uman. Like we just explained, you're allowed to bring the Kalim to or from the Uman house. Now you can do this on your Dalet, even though you don't need these Kalim for Chol HaMoed. You have a bread maker. You're not using a bread maker on Pesach, and he fixed it, so you can go pick it up on your Dalet and bring it back to your house. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, Uriminu, but we learned in another Mishnah, this is in Moed Katan, this Mishnah says, Ein Mevi'im Kelim Besu Uman, you're not allowed to go and bring the Kelim from the Besu Uman. And it says, Beferish, you're not allowed to do so, unless, Vimchoshish Lem Shema Yigodinvu, but if his courtyard where he keeps the Kelim is not safe, and you're worried that your utensil will be stolen from there, so then, Mefan L'Chotzer Cheres, then you're allowed to bring it from the Uman's courtyard into a safe house that's a Chotzer Cheres, into another Chotzer. And that seems to be a stira. The Mishnah in Moed Katan says, you're not allowed to go and bring it, except if you're afraid it's going to get stolen. And our Mishnah says, you are allowed to bring it. So what's going on? So that's the Shaila that Rav Papa says, Rava asked them, and we answered, Umishaninen. So we told Rava, it's not a problem, lo kasha. Kam b'arbasar, kam b'chol shemar. They're talking about two different things. We're talking over here about our arbasar, and therefore you're allowed to do this. And the Mishnah in Moed Katan is talking about a Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. You don't do excessive work on Chol HaMoed. That's teretz number one. V'boy say mo, teretz number two. No. Our Mishnah and the Mishnah Chol HaMoed in Moed Katan are both talking about Chol HaMoed. Hava hava Chol HaShemoed. So how come there's a different din? The Lokash, it depends. Kam b'mamino. Here's where you trust the artisan that you're paying him for your item, and he'll give it back to you after Yontif is over without charging you again. And here, we're talking about Kam b'sheino mamino. And what we said in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to go and take it back from the Uman, it's because you paid him, and you're afraid that he's going to charge you again. He's not going to believe that you paid him, and you're not going to have proof that you paid him, and therefore, kam b'she'enu amino. So therefore, that's why our Mishnah says, even on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to go and bring it back, whereas the Mishnah in Moed Katan says, you're not allowed to bring it back because you trust him. and Vatanya. Now, this Rashi points out always Vinichusa. Most Vatanyas are attacks, they're challenges, but here this is in support. Vatanya, we have a brice in support of this reconciliation that we just said in the Ibois Ema. Because it says in this brice, so I'm being Kalim Beis Uman, you're allowed to go bring the Kalim on Chol HaMoed from the Beis Uman. For example, what type of Kalim? Those Kalim that you need on Chol HaMoed, as Rashi says, could go on Hakad, maybe it's a Kadar. If you need some sort of a jug from the jug maker, you need it for Chol HaMoed. Or a coast, you need cups. Maybe it's a Zagor from the glass maker, they had glass cups, and they would need them for Chol HaMoed. So therefore, you're allowed to go bring it on Chol HaMoed, because it's Lutzar Chol HaMoed. But you're not allowed to bring things that aren't for the usage of Chol HaMoed. Avolot Semer Beis HaTzabah. Can't bring the dyed wool, because you're not allowed to make sweaters and things on Chol HaMoed, so there's no purpose in Chol HaMoed. So you can't go bring the wool back from the dyer. Velo Kalim Beis Uman, or any other utensils that have no purpose on Chol HaMoed, Rashi says. If they have no Lutzar Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to go bring them back. That's the baseline rule on Chol HaMoed. However, if he has nothing to eat, so then, no sin lo shchor, you'll have to go pay him. And, but you leave it by him. But, if you don't trust him, then you're paying him. He's begging you for the money, and you give him the money, but you don't trust him, you're afraid that you'll lose the receipt, or something will happen, and you'll have to then pay him again. So then, you take it out of his house, and you put it to the next house. If it's not in the safe place, then you even don't have to bring it silently, so you can bring it back to your house silently. Now, this seems to be a riot to what we just said, that you're allowed to, if you don't trust him, you're allowed to bring it back. Oh, this brisa seems to support that. Shmuel says, no, not necessarily. So, teratz the mevin. This allows us to go and say that you can bring the utensil back. However, molich and kasha, but it doesn't give you any raya that how you'll have to go bring it there in the first place. Diktani, because it says in Moed Katan, ein mevin, mekoshkein she'ein molichin, because we have the Mishnah Moed Katan that says you're allowed to go and take it back from him, and you certainly, mekoshkein she'ein molichin, now that I bring it there. Someone says, you're right, Take. The first way we explained it is the correct way to explain it, that one Mishnah is talking about Erev Pesach, our Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Moed Katan is talking about Chol HaMoed. Now, we'll just begin the next Mishnah. We'll actually read it through. We'll read it again tomorrow. We'll chazer it, because this is an easy, quick Mishnah to read through, because the Gemara is going to explain it, and we're not going to re-explain anything now in the Mishnah. So this is a famous Mishnah. It tells us, Shisha Dvarim Osu Anshi Yericho Al Shloshim Yichu B'Yadam V'Yashloshim Lo Yichu B'Yadam. There were six things that the people of Yericho did. Three of them, the rabbis said, okay, Nishkafer Alech, we'll let you do it. They weren't happy with it, but they said, it's okay, we're not going to protest. But three things they felt they had to protest. What are these six things? So for the first three, Elohim Shalom Yichu B'Yodim, they didn't protest against them. Again, they weren't happy about it, but they didn't protest. Number one, Markivim Dekolim Kol Yom. They would let them go and do Harkova. They would let them do grafting on all day of Yodalit. More will explain what their concern is and why they didn't protest. The Korchen Eshma, they did something called Korchen Eshma, which again, the Gemara will explain exactly what this is. This is like a Haichashman Esrei for Shema. And we'll see this when we get to the Gemara. And number three, the coach from the Gochel of the Omer. They allowed them, Rashi deletes the word the coach, because says that's certainly allowed, but it's the piling up, the Gochel of the Omer, that they made the piles of the new wheat before the bringing of the carbon Omer, and this was something that had potential problems. They may come to eat it, but the rabbi said, fine, we're not going to protest this. Those are the three things that they didn't protest against. They weren't happy about it, but they didn't protest against it. And the following three things they did protest against. What are those? Matirim Gamzio Shel Hekdesh. They allowed them to go and use certain trees that belong to Hekdesh. The people of Yericho used them, and the rabbis protested, you're not allowed to do this. We turn to Nunvav Omer Aleph. Va'okhle mitachas and shomi Shabbos. They allowed them to eat fruit that fell off from the trees on Shabbos. And again, we'll see what exactly we're talking about, why this is not allowed, Paris and Oshrim. And finally, the last thing is an Ostin Pe'aliyarik. They took off Pe'ah from vegetables. Umichu b'yodun chacham. The rabbis protested all three of these last acts. They didn't protest the first three of the acts. And this will conclude today's shir. Yitz Hashem will discuss all six of these things tomorrow. We'll read the Mishnah over then again as well. That concludes today's shir.